Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, I'm so pleased to welcome Al Bolio to the line with us this morning. He has a new book out. He's the author and the photographer of Prince Before the Rain. He joins us on the phone this morning. Hey, Al, good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
So, are you from up north here originally, Al?
Yes, my father came out of Leech Lake Reservation, as we're all kind of Indian brothers up here. And then he moved down to Minneapolis via Madison. I think he became a trucker in Madison and then moved to Minneapolis, and that's where I reside right now.
Wow. And you became a friend of Prince's. I love the quote on the back of the book where one of Prince's friends said that you were a punk. He said about you, he was a punk like we were. And the idea being that you were a friend of Prince's, you just fit in seamlessly with him and his group and the band and the friends. And you were a part of everything pretty much from the beginning, and you were just taking photographs, and nobody really paid you a lot of mind. You were just taking pictures, documenting what was going on, and it wasn't anything, you know, fakey or dramatic.
First, you know, when he first hired me, I did album covers and posters, and was actually a real studio cat, I don't know. He just got this wild idea. He goes, "Hey, why don't you come on tour with me?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's a whole different type of photography,
right?
That studio where you know I can adjust my lights and I know where you're at and I know what I got for a background and I know, you know, what I'm doing." And I go, "With you dancing around on stage and it's like at night and there's just spotlights, I don't know what I'm gonna do." So when he first hired me, he was actually warming up for Rick James. And so I took some footage that night. And I'm glad he decided to go out on his own tour because they had some pretty big meetings about splitting up the tour so that he would be a headliner. And I think I did my first headlining tour in Atlanta. There was this other photographer in the pit there, and he was, like, loaded to bear. He had, like, two cameras and all these lenses, and, you know. So I figured he knew what he was doing. So I said, "Hey, can you just show me some settings so at least I can get a start here?" And so he did. It was really nice. He showed me his settings, and, you know, and so at least I got better from there. At least Prince was in focus, and he was moving and dancing, and he was quite the performer. If you've never seen him, he's unbelievable. So he was a hard subject to freeze, if you would. And so this guy helped me out quite a bit.
Well, we've got to remind the audience too that this was pre-digital photography, so you shot, every bad shot you took. And I can't think of more challenging conditions than a lot of action under low or really erratic light, you know. So your camera's going to be going bananas trying to figure out what the light is like. And so every bad shot you took, you still had to pay to get printed.
Yep.
And so there was lot more incentive, you know, to try to get good. But photographers are so, even now, they're so generous with one another. It's really helpful.
Well, yeah. Back then, everybody had their secrets, and, you know, so I was lucky that I found a guy that was willing to share, because back then, everything was a secret to everybody else. But, you know, after I got into the touring business, I was on three tours. I was on Dirty Mind Tour, the Controversy Tour in 1999, and the further I got into being on tour, the greater I got it. Actually shooting live stuff, so I was very fortunate. But anybody in the pit who wanted to, I call it a pit, it was like the fr- front of the stage where they put photographers and, I suppose, media. And anybody who came in the pit and wanted to know what my settings were, I'd show them exactly what I was doing. Because I kind of tweaked it from that guy in Atlanta. I mean, everybody has their own taste and their own way of doing things. So, but I shared my settings, too. So it wasn't like I, you know, I paid it forward.
So you paid it forward.
Yeah. You know, anybody who wanted to know, I'd show them exactly what I was doing. And so hopefully they got some good shots, too.
Well, and so, you also went on to work for Rolling Stone, and you went on to, you know, quite a career in photography. So you did what everybody does. You learned on the ground, and you learned just by shooting and shooting and shooting. What was your reaction to the quality of, and also the ability of, what you were able to capture when you made the jump to digital? Because suddenly you don't have to be concerned anymore about the expense of printing shots you don't like or mistakes or whatever. How did you expand?
Digital is just so much easier. It's ridiculous. And it shouldn't be that easy, I don't think. You know, if you have an iPhone or if you have any phone, it already comes with a camera installed. So, you know, everybody shoots digital. And the difference between my camera and the iPhone isn't that much, really. I mean, you got better lenses. You know, you can control depth of field, maybe. But I saw a commercial the other day where, you know, you could pick your f-stop to f-16 to wide open. So you know what that does, what depth of field means. And yeah, it's a little strange, but... it shouldn't be that easy to take a photograph.
Did you find that you were able to get more candid shots, more, you know, in addition, of course, to the performances, that you were able to take shots of, you know, maybe behind the scenes, rehearsals, downtime, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, working with Prince, he pretty much gave me all access. I was, like, in the inner circle, And I think that's what that quote on the back of that book meant, was that, you know, no matter wherever he's at, I was always invited to be there. I was in the inner circle. I was with the band. I was with Prince. And it was very special. It was a great friendship we had.
I'm interested in how we as Minnesotans react to fame, because there, of course, there are many famous Minnesotans, and yet... So many people that I know tell stories about meeting Prince or seeing Prince, and I don't know whether, I mean, do Californians talk about all the famous people they see, or do we kind of really freak out about it or react to it because we're not used to famous people?
Well, I think everybody's the same way. I mean, I think in California, if you saw a famous person, he'd act the same as you would here. I mean, fame is fame, you know. I mean, there's special few people that have it. And with Prince, he was so concerned about his music. I don't think fame even came into his brain, to tell you the truth. He was so music-oriented and such a genius at it that by the time he came to me to do the photographs for the covers, you know, it was due the week before. You know, I had to work fast.
You know, it's like, oh, my old friend Al, he can handle it. He can turn it around in a week. Yeah.
He'll do it. You know, it's not like we had these big meetings about what album covers would look like. He'd just call me up and tell me the name of the album and say, you know, go do it. And then you got to remember that we didn't have the internet back then. We didn't have cell phones. We used yellow pages. I mean, it wasn't as handy as everything is today. We didn't have the internet, no cell phone. And I remember in 1999, he said, Al, go see the movie Blade Runner. And it wasn't in theaters. It wasn't at the VHS store. It wasn't, you know, I couldn't rent it on TV. I couldn't, you know, I had no idea. So I had to just ask friends that saw it. I said, see Blade Runner, and what did it look like? And they said, a lot of neon and smoke. So if you see the inner sleeve of 1999, that's what I did.
A lot of neon and smoke. Yeah, I love it. We're so lucky to be living at this cusp where our lives are kind of bisected, people of a certain age. Our lives are kind of bisected by pre-internet and post-internet. So we have an appreciation for, you know, I tell the news team, I used to have to look things up in the Yellow Pages. You have it so easy. You could Google, and they just look at me. But yeah. When you were photographing Prince, to a certain extent, on your own, in the sense that you were photographing him and he had not given you a directive, I want my album cover to look like this, or I want my performance pictures to look like this. When you were photographing him and you're looking through the lens, getting ready to push the shutter, what are some of the stories you were trying to tell?
Well, you know, before me, he just basically had headshots on his album. I think he had one or two albums before I came on board. One was For You, and the other one was just simply called Prince. And I call it like the blue-green album, where it's just a headshot. And not very good either. Not a very good headshot. But it had some great songs on it. I mean, it had I Want to Be Your Lover, Why You Want to Treat Me So Bad, and I Feel For You, a cover that Chaka Khan did much later. So it had great songs on it. And then when I came on board, it was during Dirty Mind. He goes, you know, and he says, Al, I want to be shot on a bad. And, you know, I couldn't get that through my brain, you know, what that would look like. But then, you know, I found this mattress with the strings, and it made a pattern, and it made sense to me. So I shot him against that, and he loved it. Of course, I did shoot him on the bed and on the back cover. Go get the CD, or at least look at the CD. And you know.
It was always kind of close to what we, you know, he'd just call me up and just say, you know, just a few words to me. That's all I needed. And then I just kind of let my imagination go from there. So I hope that answered your question.
We've got an album. One last question, and we're running out of time, I realize. But we've got an album here in the library that came out fairly recently called Prince, A Piano and a Microphone. And it's some...
I did that, yeah.
And,
I did that cover.
And so why, you know, Prince, when we imagine Prince, we imagine huge amphitheaters and flashy costumes and production and fireworks and. So why are we still so interested in books like yours with some behind-the-scenes pictures and in an album like Piano and a Microphone where he was either rehearsing or just or writing or just noodling at the piano?
Yeah, it's because he's a great artist. You know, that's the simple, plain truth about it. And not only was he a great artist, but a great musician, and everyone who's ever followed Prince's career would know that how great he is. That's why we're still interested, and I think that's why people are still interested in, say, Elvis, or still interested in that kind of music. It's just because that kind of talent just won't die. You know what I mean?
Al, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us about your book. It's absolutely fabulous. What do you say about a book that's mainly photographs? Not that it's a great read. It's a great look, maybe?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and they did a great job reproducing the photographs, and that's the most important thing, I mean, for a photographer, is that at least they did a really good job reproducing the photos.
They certainly did. Al, thanks again so much for joining us. It was great to talk with you this morning.
Thank you. And you have everybody have a wonderful day.
You too. Al Bolio is the photographer and author of Prince, Before the Rain, and he joined us this morning as our guest on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.